as a prophet in the Lord to come and share something that God has placed in his heart. Praise God. Amen. Pastor David.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I still have a pastoral heart. So it's not everything I share all prophecy. I mean, then you'll be very tense. If you know me by now, God has chosen a straight talking person to be a prophet. So no holding back. So if whatever the Lord placed on my mind to release, I'll release to you. Whole or pie also have to release. Alright? But today is just a short exhortation. But being a prophet, I must say, I'm a 24-hour prophet. So there'll be something released also. Now, I was just reading on Philippians this morning, and then just feel like to share something. And I'm glad Teresa read from Matthew 24, verse 14, and say, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, it is a reminder for us that whatever we are going through right now, all the teaching, all the preparation, it is for the furtherance of the gospel. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. And we must all keep this in mind so that we don't deviate. Everything is for furthering the gospel of Christ. And just now in Matthew, when we read from 24, it's also talk about the day of Christ. It is so that we all have that expectation of Christ coming back again. And that should be our main goal, that we want Christ to return, and we want to, on earth, we are, just now we read also about being joint heirs, and we want our inheritance in the heavens. Not just in Singapore. Of course, it would be nice to have a joint account holder who's a millionaire. But I tell you, that is not the main thing. The main thing is so that we inherit our inheritance together with Christ. And we have been given the revelation about the second cube, about heavens, and there is a lot more to the eternal life that has not been revealed. This 70 to 80 or 90 years of existence on earth is just a I would say kindergarten, a preparation for us. So I want to always emphasize on this, that the end is when Christ comes and then we inherit together with him. And some of the things I was reading this morning from chapter 2 and verse 9, you say, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. The context here, this my context this morning, is the furtherance of the gospel. And this is why, we cannot just talk about furtherance of the gospel without love. You look at the missionary who went to the tribe. It is love. I have been a missionary for 13 years. It is love. It was not a career. It was not a job. It was a calling. So, for us to reach to the point where we are all participating towards the furtherance of the gospel, there must be love. There is a secret which I think you should know by now. I am still in an army. My heart, my mind, my character is still a military man. And I, as a pastor, I will train you as I have been trained. None of you is here to warm the pew. I can guarantee that. Okay, I will arrow you. If you see that you want to sit down at a corner and avoid, you can't escape my eye. I have my eyes on you. Because why? We are building up the body. And we are, right now in this early stage, we are talking about building up. But there will come a time where a special force and led by our evangelist, Pastor Amy, and then we will go and preach the gospel. We are talking about preaching the gospel. And you know, and Pastor and I, we will do our best to train. He in teaching, my in the arrow in tekang you, you know, make sure you do all the work. Yeah, I am committed to this work. Now you have come to a point you cannot reject what we've been doing for the last 13 years. And here I want to talk about the things that we need to be equipped. Love. That your love may abound. You know, one of the things we all know, things that are stagnant always stink. So love also must grow. We all must grow from glory to glory. And we must abound in love. And we abound in knowledge and all discernment. And in verse 10, it says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This is the purpose for the furtherance of the gospel, that the day of Christ will come. And our character, we must be sincere and without offense. Sincere is to be pure. Without offense is to be unoffensive, non-offensive. And, you know, we are still small. But even small, we are all of different characters. I have planted churches where they are small, 20 people, but within 20 can still quarrel, you know. People, you know. As long as there are two or three. The Bible says two or three, Christ is gathered with us. But for, as long as two or three are gathered, there will be human emotion, and then I like you, I don't like you, that kind of thing. So we need to be built up also, to be pure, to be sincere and non-offensive. One of the things that can really tear down a body is offensive words. So be non-offensive. Now on verse 14, it says, and most of brethren in the Lord having become confident by my change, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Here is not the main thing when you talk about the word is the gospel. And just now, one of you were asking me in a prayer walk, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. Pray the spirit of the gospel into the places that you go. We want to plant the seed of the gospel, so that when the time comes, we actually advance to claim our spoil. So in Singapore, we are going to be sent out to all the corners. Be bold to speak the word of God, the gospel. Speak in the spirit of the gospel. Let it be planted in the spirit realm. There is this reality in the spirit realm. Anything that is spoken in spirit remains there in the air. And the angels that are in that place, they will receive it and they will continue with that word. So this is why we are going to be talking about you working with your individual angels. Because whatever that is spoken in spirit, human may not hear, but the spirit, the angels will hear, the evil spirit will hear. And those which are of the evil spirit, when they hear, they will fear, because the word of God is spoken in the spirit. But those that are of God, the angels, they will hear and they will be strengthened. And they will do the work. So this is why we are going for this prayer walk. Now in verse 19, Paul said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. This Friday, we are going to be talking about working with your angels. We are going to be talking about revealing the names of your angel. But the focus is to so that you have a more discerning knowledge of the person that is working with you. That is the angel that is going to work with you. But then, everything comes from the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. Whatever that you may hear from the angel, it is with the approval of the Holy Spirit. So this is the angel can never say anything of his own. And for the term, we always call the angel his. Not that we are all, it's not male dominated, but we say his. They don't have any gender, but we call it his. So don't call her. His is the right connotation, okay? Alright. So, now in verse 20, you say, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. Boldness again. So now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, there is a power of furthering the gospel through our personal testimony. People must see Christ in us. And Pastor has emphasized many times concerning this revival that we are talking about. We are teaching new things. Some may not approve, some may not be comfortable, but the crux of the rule here is to judge whether it is according to the word of God, whether love has grown, and I want to point out here, whether Christ has grown in you, in your life, in your testimony. Ultimately, even for both of us working with angels, it is not how much Sharma has grown in me, but how much Christ is magnified in my life, in my words, in my family. So this is something I want to exhort all of us that you discern, you judge, and look at each other, whether Christ has grown or magnified. Since we started from this year, has Christ been magnified more in this church? Has love increased? Those are our benchmark. Okay, and one of the things I want to, here we talk about love, talk about bonus, talk about discernment, knowledge. Another thing I want to encourage us to note, from last Thursday's Bible study, and then Pastor was singing one song, and then the words really was very catchy to me. And I'd like us to put that into effect in our life. The word says, you have what you say, you get what you see. It is, you see, we must say and see from the word of God. This is why it is important when we pray, we must pray into the spirit realm. We must say it out. Let the gospel of God be planted in this place. And you must boldly speak it out. And then you will have it. Then, let's say if you are going out to Yishun town, the group that goes there, say, speak it out. Say, I speak the gospel. I plant the seed of the gospel in this place. And they will have it. Because why? We are doing it in the power of the Lord. So, and then another thing is to see. Sometimes, when I pray for yours, many times I see what you see, and you are seeing your weaknesses. You come, let's say you have pain, you say, oh, Pastor, when you talk to us for prayer, you are seeing your hand being painful. How to pray for you when you see, hey, I see my hand so painful? You must see the other part of it. See the blood of Christ covering you. See the power of God covering you to heal you. And you know, it takes a little bit of imagination. You may see a broken hand, but you say, Lord, I see you touching me, healing. And you have it. It takes you to articulate, to visualize it out. And this is, I want to encourage you, when it is all part about praying, all part about receiving blessing of God. Many people say, I don't know how to pray. When you start something, you already have fear. So you feel the fear, you speak the fear, say, I cannot. This is why last Friday, remember I said, when I appoint leaders, I want you all to say, praise the Lord, rather than say, Mia. This is why I from the start already say, don't say that. When I say, call your name, William, say, yes, praise the Lord. You say it out, you will have it. You have it, you have the leadership. And it's the arrow shook you, So, this is just an exhortation for you, but I'm glad the Spirit is flowing. We are all preparing. I'm a very military man, and in preparation, it's not the hardest time. It's when we are activated for the offense. Then that really takes all the energy, the mind, and physical strength. But when you're preparing, it's just routine. Like when I prepare my soldiers to attack a hill, I'll make them prepare, clean the weapon, and then do some mock running. And say, find a place, a flat place. And say, okay, you go there, and then you go, I deploy your force here. And there. It's sweat it out, but it is still not that tough. But the actual time comes when you are moving. Then you are at the base of a hill and say, attack! Wow, that is the part where all your energy are off focus. These 2 years that we are preparing, it is still not going to be very tough. When the time comes, we are going to be very busy. So this is why we need to build up our stamina, build up our energy, and learn to conserve, and learn to do the right thing, and then those that are not the negative, don't dwell on that. This is the time for us to build up, to think of the positive, not the negative. Don't say, I cannot, I will not. If you keep saying that, now when the time comes, you will not be able to participate. Alright? So, here we talk about, and let me remind you, say, that your love may abound in knowledge and discernment, that you be sincere without offense. And even in verse 11, I didn't read just now, it says, talk about fruits of righteousness and boldness and the supply of Holy Spirit. Let's let all this word dwell in us now. And then as we sing this song, let's speak it out. Remember, you have what you say. Okay? You get what you see. If you see yourself armored up, prepared, ready to fight for the furtherance of the gospel, and that's what you'll get. Okay? So let's rise up, and then let's sing this song, and then let the word flow into you. I don't know how to sing. Pastor, I don't know how to sing. I don't know. Ikai ma, not me. You sing. Oh, you don't know how to sing. This is why I still need number one.
Thanks. Okay. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we have what we say, we get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord and our King of Kings, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We have what we say, we get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus.
Lord, and I'm King of Kings.
One more time.
King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we have what we say, we get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord, and our King of Kings.
Let's pray. I'll pause for a while. I'll let you have some time to say and to see. Remember, you have what you say. If you say you have fear, you have fear. But if you say, I am bold in the Spirit of the Lord, you shall be bold. So speak out and see. Don't see at the things that at yourself without Christ. See who you are in Christ. You are victorious. God, Christ said, I have given you peace. I have given you my joy. See that. You know, if you can even imagine, stretch your hand, stretch and then receiving the gift of peace, the gift of love. Lord, we profess that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We have victory because you are victorious. We can love because, Lord, you first love us. We need not fear because, Lord, your Spirit strengthened us, made us bold. And the Lord, you have deposited in every one of us the power of the gospel. And we have your gospel. Therefore, we pray, Lord, that you make us bold to preach, to speak the word of your gospel. Bless us, Lord, even as we prepare ourselves as a body to walk and pray in the whole of Singapore. Prepare us, Lord. Give us that bonus. Give us that discernment. Give us that knowledge, Lord, what to pray. Wherever we go, Lord, whichever town we go, give us that discernment and knowledge exactly what to pray. What to pray for Potong Pasir. What to pray for Pasir Ris. What to pray for Bukit Batok. Every place, every town in Singapore, give us that specific knowledge, Lord, and discernment what to pray. And teach us to let it out, Lord, into the Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Indeed, Lord, we stand in your victory. Let's sing one more time.
King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we have what we say, we get what we sing. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord, and our King of Kings. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we have what we say, we get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord, and our King's our King.
Yes, Lord, we proclaim one more time, Jesus is our Lord and our King of Kings. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God, that was wonderful. And also this Friday, especially those of you participating in prayer walk, to remember to come and prepare yourselves. And knowing all the archangels and the angels that work together with us in this work that God has, especially in this revival. So we will also be teaching in line to prepare for working closely with the angels that God has assigned to each one of us. And in line with what we have been also touching, we have on Sunday given a bit more light diet in our spiritual teaching. And we have been teaching on basic Christianity, most basic of all Christianity. And so today we are going to look at prayer. And we're going to talk about the basic elements of prayer. And then perhaps in the second service we can talk about advanced prayer. And it's hard to cover it in, as you know, prayer series. We got a lot of prayer series. Probably if you look at all the prayer series, we probably has about 300 to 400 messages on prayer. It's prayer and fasting and different types of prayer, etc. But we try to concise it together and talk about the basic elements of prayer, of elementary prayer, and then advanced prayer that we can develop in the Lord. So let's go to God in prayer as we examine the basic Christianity principles on prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace upon our life. We ask, O God, that you continue to impart upon each one of our life an understanding of your word. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom. Thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit and your angels continue to work with us. We thank you, Father, that you strengthen all the archangels and angels that are with us. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know, that we may understand, that we be enlightened, Father, to your word. For all that you do, Father God, we give you all the glory, all the worship and honor. Let a greater grace be upon our life. A greater anointing of your spirit be upon our life. And let us not just receive it, but let us also, God, assimilate it and be able to build upon that and receive it and grow from glory to glory, grace to grace. So reveal your Son afresh to our lives in your word, that we may grow and see all his glory and we may love you even more. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory, worship, and thanksgiving unto you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, what are the basics of prayer? As we look at prayer, we want to see, first of all, how not to pray. How not to pray. And you say, okay, how not to pray. The Bible does tell us, Jesus does tell us how not to pray. He gave his some of the Pharisees' prayer, for example, in the book of Matthew, when he teach about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, before he introduced the Lord's Prayer, he tells us how not to pray. He says, don't pray like the Pharisees. And in chapter 6, verse 5, in Matthew, he says, when you pray, so Jesus did teach about prayer, says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. In other words, when you pray, you don't just pray for people to listen to you. And that's how the Pharisees pray. And says, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, and then on the open corners of the streets, that they may be seen by people. And assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And so the most important prayer you pray, as we say, how not to pray, is that you don't just learn to pray for the sake of other people hearing you. That's how the Pharisees do it. And so sometimes when people are asked to lead prayer in public, suddenly their vocabulary change. Their normal speaking is, how are you, la? Yes, la. Praise the Lord, la. You know, and it's all right if your Singaporean prayer to God got a lot, la. Say, Father God, la. You know, so, you know, it's the way you speak, the way you pray. And then suddenly when it comes to official prayer, gracious Heavenly Father above all, thy kingdom cometh, thy will be done. And you say, this is a different person or what? It's all too artificial. And so some of you have never prayed public prayers, and if we were asked you to pray in public prayer, you might not know what to pray. learn how not to pray. You don't have to put on a thing, or don't try to copy someone when they're praying. And I've seen how, I always tease him because he's also one of my friends we can tease. So Vernon Falls, whenever he pray, he go, I think it's left, right hand, right? I think, his is always right hand. When he start operating in the spirit, and he say, you know, God is here. And recently, when I first came back to Singapore, I met up with him. And so he say, is your anointing increased? Are you now doing this? So when he pray, he goes, and then some of his disciples went through his school, and they start praying, or so they go. Where do you learn that from? So you don't have to copy anyone in prayer, or imitate anyone in prayer, which the people, the Pharisees did. They have their form of prayer. And then it says in verse 6, when you pray, go into your room where you can shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, because your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. He will bless you. So most of all, what he's trying to say is pray from your heart. You need to come forth easily from your heart. And what's in your heart is important when you come to God in prayer. If you want to know what is in the heart of the Pharisees, well, the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 16 that there's only one thing in mind every time they pray. In Luke chapter 16, verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. That's the only thing they want. They want money. And Jesus, when he spoke the woe to them in the book of Matthew, he scolded them for being robbing widows' houses and doing all the outward things. And the Pharisees, in their heart, they only were after money. And that's all they were concerned. And mind you today, a lot of TV ministries, not all of them, they're good ones, a lot of TV ministries and a lot of preachers today are only interested in the money. If you have any meeting where they bless you based on the money, they bless you based on the offering, and they bless you on that, the preachers in their heart have money in mind. Because there's no such thing as saying, you know, those who give 10,000, you'll have this. Those who give 1,000, you'll have this. No such thing. When you start hearing those things, we have the revival of the Pharisees. So we got revival, real revival, but you also got revival of the Pharisees. And it's the same thing in different format. And if Jesus were here, he would rebuke each one of them. He would just be speaking woe unto each one of them. Which is why, thank God, you know, Jesus sent replacement. Who? Pastor David. Just bring all the woe to them. and then bring forth what the Lord intended. And as he speak forth, then go, okay, chop, 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 chop. Then the real revival can come. So we have here that pray from your heart. And I'll give another scripture first, after. But mainly, in verse 7 it says, when you pray, do not use vain reputations as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. So some of you, your prayer very short. And you say, hey, is it right? My prayer finished already. You know? Say, hey, how do people pray 1 hour? You know, you pray, Father God, these are all my needs. And then you try to name everybody. But you're only two of you plus two children. So yeah, you name. Lord, I pray for da-da-da-da to finish. Hey, what? I don't know. How to make longer prayer? Ah! Add my cat. And add all your pet hamster, and you end up blessing all the ants that come in your house also. You don't. Or you start making your prayer long because you started praying for Singapore, then you got a list of countries from A to Z. And now that is not what the Lord wants. All these are ways to make your prayer long or reputation prayer. That has nothing to do with meditation on God's Word. Meditation on God's Word is not classified under prayer. It's classified under faith, which next week we talk about elements of faith, meditation on the word. But here, it's talking about making repetitive prayer without believing that your prayers were ever heard. And so before we go to the right type of prayer, let's also cross-reference to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, where Jesus was concerned about prayer and he teach about prayer. And he says in chapter 18, verse 1, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. That's where he got the parable of the persistent widow. So when prayer, we need a certain level of persistence. But the persistence is not repetitive prayer. The persistence is persistence of faith. And that we have to teach next week. After you teach prayer, you must teach faith. Because a lot of prayers don't have faith involved. Like Pastor David was just saying just now, we have what we say, we get what we see. And there are laws of faith. And when you have faith in something, you must be able to see it and say it. And you cannot see it, can't say it, your faith hasn't developed yet. And you have to wait on God until your faith develops. And that's one among the laws of faith. But let's look at the laws of prayer for today. And this message should go in line with the Foundation Truth series on laws of prayer, which is one of the Foundational Truth series. So we're trying to cover this foundational truth in basic Christianity. He did talk about how we need to be persistent in prayer. But the other thing is, he talks about prayer of the heart. In chapter 18, he says in verse 8, as he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, he says, two men went to the temple to pray. And one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And look at the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood there and prayed and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other guy there. I'm not like the extortioners. I'm not like the unjust. I'm not like the adulterers. Even this tax collector right next to me. And I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, very religious man. And then the tax collector, standing very far away because don't dare to come near to God, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. In other words, God heard his prayer rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So pray, basically don't pray like the Pharisees. Always pray what's in your heart. Then as we pray from our heart, here are the basic elements of prayer. Firstly, who do we pray to? We have the Father, we have Jesus, the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. Who do we pray to? And also, what about the archangels and the angels that God has sent? How do we relate to them? Who do we pray to? Well, the Bible did tell us who to pray to. Jesus himself, this is our Lord Jesus, second person of the Godhead, tells us in Matthew chapter 6, if you have Matthew chapter 6 there, it says in verse 9, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven. So when we pray, we look to the first person of the Godhead, say, our Father God. And you can call him by various titles. You say, our Father in heaven, like Jesus says. Or look at how Paul prayed. Paul always, in Ephesians chapter 1, this is Paul's manner of prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, and looking at the basics of prayer, we look at who to pray to. So in Ephesians chapter 1, and many Christians have not been taught this. I'm surprised that in many churches, they just say, pray, 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 and then believe God when you pray. But they never talk the basics. And so you hear some Christians praying, they don't pray the correct way. And look at Paul's prayer, it says in chapter 1, verse 17. He says, I cease not making prayers for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, who is he praying to? First person of the Godhead. Prayer is to the first person of the Godhead, our Father God. And you also have in chapter 3 a record of his prayer. Another second prayer he makes, he says in verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So who do we pray to? The first person of the Godhead. And then look at in the book of Acts, the apostles and the church in the book of Acts, when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, after they were persecuted, they gathered together in Acts chapter 4, and then they said in verse 24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. and who by the mouth of your servant David have said all these words. And then verse 27, for truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. Now, obviously, you know who they are praying to. They didn't actually say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, they did not just pray the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer was not given as a formula. The Lord's Prayer was the principle. And the principle of prayer is you always pray to the first person of the Godhead. He can be called by many names. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Papa God, as I call him. They say Lord God of the heavens and the earth. Sometimes people call upon different names of God. But it's always the first person of the Godhead that prayer is made to. But many Christians are praying, when they pray, they say, pray, you say, dear Lord Jesus. Oops! Wrong person. And then some Christians are very worried, especially new Christians. Hey, we got the Trinity. If I must split my prayer. Say, why? I must pray one third to the Father, one third to Jesus, one third to the Holy Spirit. I say, why? Because, wait, Jesus disappointed. Say, why you always talk to the Father, never talk to me? And then you talk to Jesus, then the Father also very disappointed. Why you never talk to me? Oh, then you go to heaven. Well, which one to talk to? So, don't offend God. So you say, wait, you two wait. I talk to here first. No. God is one. When you're talking to God the Father, Jesus is involved. I give you a scripture for that. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, these are all very basic, but some Christians told me that, hey, your basic, we never heard before. Your basic, not very basic. Hey, this is supposed to be basic. In Philippians chapter 2, and just because people never touch on that, they took for granted. So in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about God exalting the name of Jesus. And in verse 10 and 11, it says that the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those underneath the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, and look, to the glory of God the Father. So whenever you talk to Jesus, when you talk to the Holy Spirit, and the Father is glorified. The Trinity is such that they don't vie for attention. So when you're talking to the Father, Jesus didn't just waiting, you know. Yeah, waiting. Why you didn't talk to him? No. When you talk to the Father, automatically you're talking to Jesus too. But the official way to pray, the correct way to pray, is to God, our Father. Then who is Jesus to us? Jesus is supposed to be like our elder brother. Hebrews chapter 2. He is our brethren. He is the firstborn among our brethren. He is our first, the face of first of Adamic race who lead us in salvation. He is on our side. He is with us. And so we pray in the name of Jesus, but to God the Father. Always to our Father God. And that raises another question. Can we sort of talk to Jesus? So then we say, Lord Jesus, yes you can. Because sometimes there are people in the Bible that refer and talk to Jesus. Like for example, Stephen before he died. In the book of Acts chapter 7, at the end of his preaching, as they were all persecuting him and watching what he's going to do, and Saul was among those in Acts chapter 7, we are told that as he was about to die as a martyr, he looked up in verse 54-55. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed in the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing in the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now notice, there was God the Father, there was Jesus at the right hand, representing our position in Christ. And then as they rushed to him, and they stoned him. They cast him out of the city. And he says in verse 59, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Because he was seeing Jesus. And he talked to Jesus. So you can talk to Jesus. You can acknowledge him. Of course, to a person who is not born again, we lead them to talk to Jesus, to invite Jesus into their life. The sinner's prayer, as we call it. And you can talk to Jesus. And Jesus can appear in visions. And sometimes in the spirit, you can call upon Jesus because under his name is salvation. When you call upon Jesus, you're invoking his work and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then some people read books like by Benny Hinn. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Well, now got some more added to the devotional life. We got God the Father, got Jesus. They say, "Wow, we've been neglecting the Holy Spirit." So they copy the book. Every morning they get up and say, "Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit." So they copy him. Say, "Wow, every day must relate to the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit." And after that they add more. What happens when Pastor David wake up? You know, he got, "Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Shama. Good morning, generals. Good morning, this. Good morning." But remember, each of the generals got 1 million angels. He can either say one good morning to all of them, or he can say individually. So, wow, but I say, "Good morning," and then he'll be talking to all the names of the angels. "Good morning, when you go. Well, finish. Wait, time to sleep. 10 p.m. So, every day, you just get up, give all of them time to sleep. You got no time to do anything. Of course, that will be a horrible type of life. None of you want this so spiritual life. Wow. Food has to be sent to your door. Because, why every day you're just greeting God? So, obviously, something is wrong somewhere with our concept of Christianity. And that cannot be the way Christianity. You can address to them. You can talk to Jesus. You can... It's when you talk to in the spirit to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, you're more being conscious of their presence. You're conscious of the Holy Spirit. So we sing songs to him, say, "Welcome, Holy Spirit." It's just because we're going to bring our consciousness to be aware of his work. And all these are what I call subsidiary prayer. Subsidiary to prayer. It's not official prayer, it's subsidiary prayer. Or more acknowledgement of what Jesus has done, acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit. And you don't always have to talk to the Holy Spirit to be aware of the Holy Spirit. I'm aware of the Holy Spirit all the time. And I don't even have to, you know, talk to him. I'm just, you know, sense his anointing. And that's it. And just being aware of him. But for some people, they're so unaware, so they get up and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit!" And your angel say, "Hey, what about me?" And then, "What about me? What about me? What about me?" So the book is not something that you could copy, and sometimes you know preachers might not actually practice fully what they are said they practice, sometimes we go overemphasis and make as if something is a real methodology in a person's life. And so it's not that every morning, you know, that you must talk to the Holy Spirit. When you grow in God, you learn how to relate. And so right now, let me go a little bit closer to home. How many husbands and wives wish each other good morning? No more, what? Because you greeted each other for so many years. So you say, then the wife and husband say, "Hey, when the last time you greet me?" 3 days after the wedding. Right. So husband and wife know each other so well that they don't expect when they gather in the morning their face is very black and sour. They make breakfast, all the toast also burn. And they say, "Why? You never greet me. Give you burnt toast." And then because your wife also very spiritual, quote the Bible. Say, "Why the toast burn?" Say, "Bible say burnt offering." And so, scriptural, to burn your toes. Anyway, I wonder. And then, so, no, most husbands and wives, they don't greet each other. They don't get grumpy because, you know, you get in the morning, you say, "You didn't say good morning to me." Then you can go extreme. You say good morning, how about afternoon also must reach. Then after that, must say good midday. Wow, all these things, all these rules come, and then, you know, the relationship doesn't become natural anymore. It's obvious that the same relationship we share with our loved ones close to us, that the more you actually grow to know, you know a person, then when you get up, you know, there's this good wishing in the morning. And so, you know, you acknowledge all those things. And you ask any wife, any husband, a kiss is more important than good morning. Right? You say, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, kiss better. So realize that it's the relationship that one shares. And the same way as we grow deep in each other, of course, you know, Pastor David, don't get up every morning and kiss Shama. So, of course not. So, different relationship. But there's a sense of thank you, angels, for giving this sermon as illustration. And so we relate to them. We acknowledge. And every night before I sleep, every morning when I get up, I acknowledge my angel's presence, which we will teach when we teach on Friday. There's a way you relate to them without necessarily praying to them. Acknowledgement is all there is. And that's all that is necessary when you're working each other so well. And then when we talk to advanced prayer, advanced relationship, that's different. Like some of you wondering, wow, how to work with the angels, how to what? Then some of you, hey, give me my angel's name and everything, you know. Even if we tell you your angel's name and your angel name sounds something like, how does that help you? How does that help you? Tell me. Let's say we give you your real angel's name. Your angel's name is, in their language. How does that help you? Obviously, it doesn't help you. What? You think every morning you go, then will come. No. He will be there whether you call his name or not. And that is why the group of angels that have been assigned to those of you here, some of you online might have it, but not all of you might have. These are for the prayer walk and the work that God has in preparation for this revival. The group of angels are going to assume names for the work. And they can do that. They can assume names for the work because they're different work. And so, if we tell you that, like, your archangel is like or your angel is Eliezer, like one of the mighty men of David, then you can say, oh, okay, I know what it means. And the meaning of the name is God help me. So their purpose is to stay alongside, to help you. Then you know what their work is. And so they're going to have assumed names rather than reveal their original name. And so I never bothered to ask the name or even my angels at all. And reason being because when I talk to them, I don't even talk in English. Spirit is faster. When I talk to them, see, I don't talk in English, but in the spirit, I know their name. And I can relate to them better. Talk about advanced prayer. That one, afternoon service. Then advanced prayer, evening service, which is not yet. So actually, when you talk in the spirit, some of you are already calling your angels by name. You don't realize it. That's why now you realize you need to pray more in tongues. So sometimes in tongues, you call angels by name. So you send an angel out. See, you don't know where to send your angel out in English or in Hokkien. Because your Hokkien so poor, your English also half-passed. And then you might send that. You say, hey, what exactly do you mean? When else you speak in the spirit, they know. So there are many types of tongues, as we say. And it's important for us to relate in that way. So you can have relationship with your angels, your archangels, and all those things. And you talk in spirit is so much. English, I find, is a language that is quite limiting. But we need it. And that is where some of you are asking, what am I going to do when I go, when I go a prayer walk and I'm a leader? Oh, leader. What am I to do? They panic. You know, leader, they panic. First of all, pray in tongues. Yeah, you pray in the spirit. You pray understanding. You pray, Father God, bless Pasir Ris. Hey, what's the meaning of Pasir Ris? Oh, something about sand. Bless the sand. See, your English very limited, but you just pray. Oh God, wow, very good. Then you interpret. You interpret your tongues. And then you pray more accurate. So you don't even need to prepare, you know. When you have tongues, you never need to prepare. You have your normal Bible thing. So some of you are saying, wow, Pastor David make me a leader. What am I going to do? Some of you started reading concordance. Oh, looking at all the prayer, studying all the prophecy, oh, memorizing the prophecy, even though he hasn't finished memorizing. Doing all kinds of things. Wonder what to do. You're going to wonder what to do about all this. And so, suddenly, oh, you realize all you need is speak in the spirit. Remember we taught you in tongues. Speak in the spirit. Interpret what you speak. Very simple. It could be pray for anything. Like for example, Singapore. Hangge baka kasti ke bolonge nga hangge akrasto os diandora siandora bosto kabasa. Oh Lord, bless this nation, bless this country. You raise the level of righteousness. That's it. Prayer finish. So it could be doing anything. Thanks for the interpretation. So we are talking about. We know what we are talking about. We have moved to advanced levels of relationship with archangel, all those things. But officially, when you learn to pray, pray to God the Father. Always to God the Father. Because when you pray to God the Father, Jesus is with you. Holy Spirit is in you and upon you. Angels are along your side. And they're all listening to the same prayer. They are also listening to God the Father. They are also yielding to the Holy Spirit. And we're all working as a team to move forward in the things of God. And I know some of you, you know, very excited to know your angel's name. Well, some of you cannot wait till Friday. Wow, your nervous system is so great. But remember, it's just a close way for your angels to work with you. I never needed to know the English name, right? Actually, it's Romanization. When we review the name, it's Romanization. The original language is in the spirit. You could work with them even in the spirit. When you learn to pray in tongues, speak in tongues, you're already very effective. With the archangels of God. And so when we look at the simplicity of prayer, who to pray to, always at the end of the day, pray to God the Father. And as we pray to God the Father, as we see in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew 6, tells us, Jesus did give us a little sort of principles on prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, he says in verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, according to the Old King James. And here he says, our Father in heaven. And sometimes the new translations remove a lot of the original Greek, which sounds much more splendid. Because in the Greek, there is the word "ah" inside, which is why they translate it as our Father who are in heaven. Whereas the New King James, following the English laws and of vocabulary, say, our Father in heaven. I think we lost something there. But at least we know the full meaning is towards the Father. And then it's okay if in your Christian life you're developing, you're still getting to know Jesus, getting to all these things. And sometimes you talk to Jesus, oh Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Oh Jesus, show me your glory. Jesus, teach me all your promises and all the healing. It's okay. But if you really want to learn how to pray, pray to God, our Father in heaven, which you can call by various ways. Abba Father, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and various things, God of glory, God of heaven and earth, is always to God the Father. And then your life would be different. At first, it might feel artificial to you because you've always been praying, Dear Lord Jesus. But as you change, something in you will grow forth. It's like you got the perspective right. Everything is now in the right place. And before when you pray, you know, to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's almost like something just doesn't feel right. It's like driving your car with a rear view through the reverse with a rear view mirror. And you'll be the only car going backwards. And it just doesn't feel right. The car is supposed to be drive forwards, not backwards. Of course you can drive your car backwards. Otherwise you can't reverse. But how many people drive their car backwards along the highway? Nobody. And it just feels funny the way we develop our relationship with God if we didn't pray to God the Father. So set it correct in your life. Call God Father. And your relationship will start improving in your prayer life as you pray in English and you pray to God our Father. Then the next thing he teaches is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it says here in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. God puts his kingdom before your daily bread. God puts his will before your daily bread. Because the whole purpose of prayer is not to make you a selfish person. There is prayer that is what I call kindergarten level prayer. Not only do they call for Lord Jesus, kindergarten level prayer is always, oh God, bless me, bless me, bless me. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, 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 gimme. My name is Jimmy, 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 Jimmy. Sorry if your name is Jimmy. and bless me, my spouse, my house, my children, my cat, my dog, their guinea pigs, that's it. Nobody else. So it's a very self-centered prayer. And prayer is not supposed to be self-centered. Prayer is supposed to be God-like. And speaking from experience of having read through thousands of prayers, long ago, every year we get thousands of emails coming. And long ago when we were pastoring in Malaysia, a thousand in our congregation, and we had a prayer globe. And we have to empty the prayer globe and we cut a hole and put prayers inside and we lay hands and pray. Before we took off all the prayers each year, I would pray through them and read through them. Then I realized, wow, most of the prayers are all financial needs or healing or things, problems in the family, problems in work. All the prayers are all in those areas. Nearly 99%. Then I realized people are not taught. And so I started teaching about how people in the Bible pray. And opposite from the way we pray today. And because many of us never grow up. It's okay to pray our daily bread, our daily bread, our daily bread, all our needs. It's okay. Didn't say that it's not okay. But that's like a little baby always asking for milk. That's what babies are supposed to do. So it's okay for them. Right? You don't expect baby, you know, to be very hungry. And then the baby says, feed all the other babies in the world first before you feed me. Baby will die by then. Oh, so sacrificial baby. So we say, wow, what a wonderful baby. And we feed finish, the baby died. So the wonderful baby only lasts a few seconds. So babies are supposed to ask for milk. They cry for everything. And it takes a while to decode the kind of crying. Oh, baby got cold. So as they cry, you go, wow! Say, you're here. Okay, that crying is not comfortable. Yeah, want to be whole, you know, fully fed, everything, still crying. Ah! You say, okay, that crying. Then, a different cry. Wah! You say, wow, that guy, really hungry. You know, massively hungry. Dying of hunger. Of course, your baby might not be like that. So, and we pray that your baby don't be like that. Because we might have baby service next time. So, so there's a cry that's for food. Then there's a cry because they just dirty themselves. So all the different types of cry, it's okay. Whatever they do, they just open their mouth. Ah, then help comes. It's okay for a baby. They need to be fat, need to be clothed, they need to grow. You know, all of you look so innocent, like, well, when I was small, I was not like that. Oh, you're even small, also like Pharisee baby. No, all of us did it. All of us did it. And in the same way, nothing to be ashamed if most of your prayers, you know, were in your knees and all that, because they occupy your heart, occupy your mind. You know, we didn't say that it's wrong. We just say that we do need to grow up. It's okay to put your needs and all those things before God, because God did say to ask God for your daily bread. That's baby prayer. Baby's prayer, that's the way they pray. And then as we grow into teenagers, we are still self-centered. And a teenage prayer is like, you know, what will I do with my life, oh Lord? My life. You know, I must discover my life. Not to hell with everyone. My life. Teenage prayer. Still self-centered. And you're concentrating on your life still. You want to discover things in your life. And you still haven't learned. But remember, not all teenagers are that way. Some teenagers, they mature fast. They become very philanthropic, altruistic. And otherwise, you know, generally most are still self-centered. And of course, some never grow out of that life. Even in adult life, still self-centered. And then some of them go to Bible school and then bring it into the church, make all churches self-centered also. And so self-centered that many pastors say, you attend this church, don't go to any other church. Every church is cult except them. Yeah. Or churches that they're so frightened that they don't relate to other churches. We bring our self-centeredness into the pulpit. And so they can't help themselves because they are self-centered. And instead of being generous. And I always encourage people, I say, go, no, people say, oh, no, visit here, visit there. Go. If it helps you, go. You know why? If you open a good, I always use wonton noodle, so I must change to chicken rice. You open a good chicken rice store, and you know your chicken rice is the best in town. What will you do if people who visit your chicken say, hey, I want to see the other corner nice or not? Say, go by all means. Because after they eat, then they come and say, yes, chicken rice, oh, best rice, best chicken. Then they have made a comparison. But if they haven't made the comparison, and but if you find a church where the pastors, you know, the chicken rice, chow ta, even the skin also dry. Don't talk about the meat. You know how some chicken, the meat inside is really dry. And then no fragrance, you smell. The only fragrance you smell is the pot. And then the rice, slightly burnt. And then no fragrance at all, and white in color. And after you eat one time, you're never going back again. But people discover. And every church has its purpose for function. Not every church has to be like us. Our church cater to those who are hungry for God. So if you're not hungry for God, you won't last long. Because you say, hey, where's playtime? Playtime. Hey, this church got no playtime. Say, when is your playtime? Our playtime is when we pray time. We have fun in our prayer. So it cannot last long. So there are churches located there, you know, different levels of growth. And every Sunday, all we tell you is, be a good boy, pray, be holy. And you go back. Then you forgot how to be holy. Then you come back, be a good boy, pray. And every Sunday, that's that. You never grow. And that's not our focus. Now, and there's some churches that may just not concentrate at that level and don't dare to go further. We can guarantee you, even though we grow to mega, we will still be as deep. Yeah, we will still be as deep. And since the time we started preaching, we haven't repeated one sermon. And Eddie is getting, wow, you know, by the time, how to catch up? Eddie's worry is how to catch up. And because you heard every sermon and it's still, I don't think you finished every sermon also. Right? Not everything in the box. Okay, so. And so that's where every church has to find their place and they just take time to grow. And but the day will come, more people are hungry. Because when you look at every country, look at their biggest churches. The bigger churches are the indication of what is average. So, if the average people just wants their own life, a good life, short service and all that, that is the majority of people who find their way there. But the average will keep changing. Then if the average drops, where the people become more and more carnal, then the biggest churches will actually be the amount of carnal ones. Because the average will always attract the mass. Because that is what people want. But as people grow more and more hungry for God, then the average churches will be, the bigger churches that are the average churches will be the one that is very hungry. So the day will come when people get more hungry for God, and then the biggest churches will be the one that are most hungry. And at that time, those churches not doing well in their prayer department will spruce up their prayer department. Because they say, people don't want to pray. Because they last time don't care about their prayer ministry. They only care about their Sunday ministry. So, on general, most people, prayer life is, Father who are in heaven, give us a daily bread. And that's it. In Jesus' name, amen. They have compressed the whole Lord's Prayer to one long sentence. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. We thought our prayers are finished. Now, the daily bread one may contain a lot of different things. But in essence, it's the same thing. Surely, we have not learned how to pray. And many do not have their prayers answered. Because one of the laws of prayer is that unless your prayer relates to the will of God and the kingdom of God, is not even considered officially a prayer or worthy enough for the archangels and the angels to even be involved in the process of the prayer. God does not bless selfishness. Now, there could be short prayers like Peter about to sink into the water and say, Lord, help me! Of course, the Lord will help you. Angels are always helping there. But those are not considered prayer. Those are considered cries for help. Lord, help me! You know, God, help me, I'm drowning in debt. God, help me! You know, I cannot feed myself. God, help me, I cannot pay the loan. God, help me. These are, God, help me. Not the way that Jesus taught us to pray. As we mature in God, God wants us to be people of prayer. Real priests before God. And the good news is, whenever we put the will of God and the kingdom of God first, all your needs are actually taken care. And I give you more than three verses. You already have Matthew chapter 6. In the same chapter where he teaches to pray, he tells us in chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's in the same chapter where he introduced the prayer. So if we understand Matthew 6:33, you can talk about your bread, but it's more make mention of it. And know that you're committed to God, but not so much begging. A lot of prayers are begging prayers. Baby prayers. Baby prayers are begging prayers. That's not what prayer is supposed to be. To really learn to have a deep prayer life, we have to pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And when you do so, at the expense of your own need, at the expense of a sacrifice of everything else, God will actually take care of your needs. That's one clear verse in that chapter. Cross over to King Solomon when the Lord appeared to him. And we look at the one in First Kings. First Kings chapter 3. Solomon went to Gibeon where the bronze altar was in verse 4. And he went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God says, ask, what shall I give you? Oh, I'll tell you, you could ask for many, many things. But Solomon says, you have shown great mercy to your servant, David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, for numerous, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge these great people of yours? In other words, say, give me wisdom. This speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And then the Lord says in verse 11, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked, remember what he did not ask, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Also, you see, our God is the God with also. It says, also, and I have given you, and I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. He became the richest king on earth. He didn't ask for that. So will you lose out if you didn't ask for your bread? No. That's why Jesus put it first. Seek ye the kingdom of God. And he tells us, your kingdom come, your will be done. When your prayers concern God's kingdom, if you take care of God, God takes care of you. And that is the purpose for this earth. Why did God send us to this earth? Why send us to the earth which is fallen? Why on this earth where you have to struggle for your basic needs? Is it so much that we can depend on God for our basic needs? That's babies. It's so that in the midst of a selfish world, you learn to be unselfish. Because if you remain in heaven, where everyone is selfless, it's easy to be selfless. You could be selfless just because everyone is selfless. But when you're in a fallen world where selfishness and looking after themselves and the Darwinian theory of survival, the fittest, stepping over people's head and you survive and eat everybody else, in that kind of world and you become selfless, where everybody, you know, is looking, it's like no food to eat and everybody go eat one another and they're looking, who is next? In that world you say, eat me. It's a different concept. It just runs against the whole thing. And you heard about the aircraft crash in the Andes, and then the survivors have to got no food. They end up eating the dead parts of the other passengers who died. And so we have a hypothetical question. If you're in that situation, would you eat your fellow passengers? And because we already know the answer from Pastor David. Yes, survival. Yes, it's all counts. Military, we're okay. Right. And but some of us might be uncomfortable. You might say, you know, wow. And then, you know, imagine yourself being eaten. And but, you know, what will your answer be? And so, for me, I would prefer to die. But before I die, I say, you know, after I die, you need me for meat, go ahead. But I don't think I got the stomach for that. Yeah, you can eat snakes, I can't. Right? I have a softer palate. Praise God. And so, you can't. And so, they, you know, but for me, death is nothing because going home to heaven. Should that situation be, but there's also another training. Can live 40 days on water. Oh, that's nothing else. And anyway, it's interesting to note that in a selfish world, if you become unselfish, and where's the first place you become unselfish? In your prayers. In your prayers. And so when you begin to first of all, pray for God's will to be done. Because if God's will is done, look at heaven where God's will is done. There are no needs. There are no poor. There are no tears. Because God's will is done. If God's will is done, everyone actually have their needs met. And so that's why when we take care of God's business, God takes care of you. And the life of David is an illustration of that. He wanted to build God a house. God said, I will build you a house. I will make sure that your descendants are always on the throne. So God is that generous. And the first law, simple law of prayer is pray to God the Father. Second simple law of prayer is to answer this question. Is how does your prayers relate to the kingdom of God and the will of God? If there's no relationship, doesn't qualify. It will only qualify as a cry for help. Just a cry for help. Which is, you know, there somewhere. But not the way Jesus taught us to pray. So is your prayer life just a cry for help? And you've been 30 years a Christian, and the only way you know how to pray is a cry for help. But your type of help you need might be different. When you're growing, it's food. And then as you grow up, you might need shelter. Then after that, you want a combination, and you want transportation, then you want pocket money, then you want money to have leisure, and then you want money for so many reasons. You still cry for help. If all our prayers are just that, we are all really baby Christians. And God help us if we are a church that build baby Christians. There we need to be weep if that's all that we can produce. Is this the type of church that Jesus wants? Definitely not. We haven't teach people to be like Jesus. You know the true essence of Christianity, what every church goal should be. Each church have their own different vision, their own specific. But in the end, every church must have this goal that they must teach people to be like Jesus. That's a whole basic thing. If after attending the church for 20, 30 years, you're still not like Jesus, something is wrong somewhere. Something is very wrong somewhere. And angels that God sent, and God himself is not our servant. But you know, it looks like Christianity make God our servant. Everyone will pray. Wah! Then God come. Yes, that's what you want. And say, oh, I need food. Here's food. And then we are satisfied. And then we don't pay attention to God. So, you know, God withdraws his presence and we're there. And you say, wah! Then God says, yes, this is what you want. Well, every time you just want God to do that, you're actually making God a servant. Instead of we servants of God, God is our servant. First stage Christianity, you know, that's okay for babies. Okay for babies. And then we make angels our servant. And we say, oh, angels, go and get me this bungalow. Go and get me this parking lot. Go and get me this, help me to shop. Get me this. Get me that. Wow, our prayer all very selfish. All angels serve us, God serve us. Wow, we are really king. Then the song we say, King of King, Lord of Lords, we are the King of Kings. And everything serving us. Well, something wrong with our Christianity. And the only place where I know everybody is like that is a place very dark called hell. Everyone wants everyone to serve them because they fight. Because everyone wants to be selfish. And something is wrong with the church if all we produce are baby Christians. It's okay to have baby Christians, but we must grow up. We must learn, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the second law. And I'm trying to show this that you will not lose out. That's where the teaching comes in. Many people are frightened because they may lose out. Say, I didn't include my bread in the prayer. What will happen? Will God's kingdom come, his will be done, except I die. No bread to eat. That will never happen. Because when Peter asked Jesus and said, Lord, in Mark chapter 10, he says, when the rich man couldn't give all and follow him, Peter says, after the rich man has gone away, and says in verse 28, he says, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, verse 29, Mark 10, no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So he says, anyone who has left all, you will never be short. And at one point, he sent his disciples two by two, and they take nothing with them. When they came by, he said, have you lacked any? They says, no. They don't like anything. And then there's a promise that he says, for many who are first will be last, and last will be first. If you want to be among the greater ones who sit with Father Abraham, then you learn to be selfless. And in your prayer, although we have a prayer item in the prophetic section, in your prayers, when you learn to pray His kingdom and His will, you have learned at least the elements of what prayer means. Prayer is not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry, Ahmad, Akka, Ramasamy, can just write their prayer and their needs. That is baby prayer. But it takes a greater Christian, greater man or woman, to write down prayers for all those around them, except themselves. You will not lose out. The guarantee from God, you will not lose out. In fact, you may gain more. Because when God blessed Solomon, it was greater than if he asked for himself. God knows how to take care of us. When we take care of others, God takes care of us. And that is a principle He wants us to discover in the law of prayer. That the more you take care and pray for people... See, not all of us are rich enough to live, to help every poor person. Correct? Some people are more blessed, they can help others more. But not all of us are rich enough to help everybody. But do you know one thing? No matter whether you're actually physically rich or poor, you can say prayers for others. You are rich in prayer. You could pray for every poor person until they become rich. You could pray for every sick person until they become healed. See, there is no limit to who you can pray for, what you can pray for. Yet we are not using prayers to be a bigger person. We are using prayers to be a smaller person. Prayer is supposed to enrich our life so that in prayer we begin to extend. And you know how much we strengthen prayer? I taught my wife to do that also. And said, bless your angels and pray for God to reward and bless them too. See, I don't think of my angels doing things for me. I also think about, through me, the angels will be more blessed. So of course all the angels say, oh, I'd like to work for you. No, the angels are not so selfish, okay? They're not selfish. But the angels will enjoy my company because when they're with me, I bless them too. Not always, you know, the angels around the bless me. And then the angel has to check. I know his name is it, but is his name also called Bless Me? Because that sounds like your surname. Bless me. Remember the Bible says in the book of Psalms 34. In Psalms 34, it says angels encamp about those who fear the Lord. You know why? Those who fear the Lord are always intercessors. They become great intercessors. And ever since I know some of the names of the angels, I've actually list all the angels them now and say, God, bless these and reward them too. For taking the time, serving us. Yeah. And, you know, list them now. I say, Lord, bless all of this. And because I only know my angel's name by the Spirit, which I talk to him. When I talk in tongues to him, I still can do not spell the tongues, Romanize it. So I say, oh God, no, bless the angel, strengthen him, reward him. You know, the angel who with the scroll behind me, opening. Say, Lord, bless him too. Unselfish. Because the whole thing about heaven is this. On this earth, we are trained for heaven. We are trained for heaven. And being in heaven means being unselfish. That's what heaven is about. heaven is, we are just being like God. Is our God a selfish God? No. God is loving and caring. Jesus is loving and caring. And we're being trained to be part of the heavenly system. So we bless, and we're always God's kingdom, and God's will be done. And it's important when we do that, it's a richer relationship. It's just like a marriage. You know, in a marriage, if two selfish people come together, well, everything is a fight. From the time the salary check comes in, this is mine, this is yours, this is thy, this is the Lord. Not 1 cent more, not 1 cent less. And both are selfish, they're fighting over. I do this, you do it. I eat fried rice, 2 meat, 1 veggie. How come you're 3 meat, 1 veggie? Selfishness reigns. And everything they fight. You cannot have a real relationship when selfish people come together. But it's learning to be selfless. That's a second law, a basic law in prayer. Is God wants to teach us, include His kingdom. When you include His kingdom, you will grow spiritually. And when you look at all the prayers in the Bible, and I have a study on all the prayers in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, one of the first, among some of the first prayers recorded in the book of Acts, just to give a sample of learning how to pray. Acts chapter 4. The prayer is recorded from verse 24 to verse 30. Look at what they are asking. I don't see anybody asking God for healing. I don't see anybody asking God for finances. I didn't see anybody asking God for a house or a new job or more money. All I see is they ask, they did talk to God about their situation, how they're being persecuted. It's okay to talk to God. And then they ask for boldness to do God's will. But in chapter 4, they had 32 to 33 to 34. Every one of them became richer. Every one of them were healed. Every one of them had more than enough for their lives. But I don't see them asking for that. All I see is they ask for boldness so that we can do your will. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we don't have to look at all Paul's prayer, but just to go back to the samples that he gave. In Ephesians chapter 1, we know Paul himself says that sometimes he has need, sometimes he went without food, sometimes he will struggle with hunger. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23, I don't see one time where Paul asked for food, Paul asked for more money, Paul asked for a better tent-making business. Never. I see him pray for the Ephesians. And even when he prayed for them, he didn't just pray for their physical needs. I didn't see Paul say, Paul pray for them. God make everyone and rich. God make everyone and millionaires. God make everyone, you know, live in a better house. God bless them all with better salaries. I don't see Paul asking for that. Paul asked for spiritual things, knowing that spiritual things will bring material things. In Ephesians 3, I don't see him praying for them to live in a better house. Instead, I see him praying for their spirit man to be strong. Because when your spirit man is strong, prosperity cometh. This is the law of the glory of God. If the Ark of Covenant is with you, whether your name is Obed-Edom or not Obed-Edom, everything that you do will be blessed. If God's presence increases upon your life, everything will be there. And in fact, the more you keep asking for things and the physical thing, the less your prayers are answered. Because you become a smaller and smaller person, and your focus is less and less, your kingdom, your will. I didn't say you cannot ask for bread. it's okay to make mention. But your focus must be the will of God and the kingdom of God. As long as you keep that focus in your life, every other thing will fall into place. The richest man in the Bible never asked for riches. Think about that. The person who can have more money to build houses than anything never asked for that. And in conclusion, two other points I got to throw in, which I'll touch more in the same service. There must be accompanying things in prayer. Prayer in the New Testament must always have thanksgiving. I know Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. But in Psalms 95, it says, come before God with thanksgiving. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, it tells us, offer to God the sacrifices of praise with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Philippians 4, that tells us if you got anxiety, your things that make you worry, it says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving. So if your prayer don't have thanksgiving, you're offering your prayer without two things necessary for the offering. There are five types of sacrifices in the Old Testament, and always two things are required, either one of them. One is at least blood, the other, salt. Must be offered. I mean, the meal offering. The oil, the accompany, salt and oil. Why? That is the law of God. And if your prayer don't have one shred of thanksgiving, you're no different from the non-Christians. That God will send his angels to help. He does. Because they call for help, reaches to heaven. Do we want to be like the non-Christians? All we do is cry or help. We are priests and kings before God. In the third law of prayer, elementary, these are simple, but we always forgot. And I always ask people, where's the thanksgiving in your prayer? If your prayer don't have thanksgiving, thanksgiving is called based on our blood of Jesus Christ. Based on all that he has done. That's why the New Testament is a place of thanksgiving. Everything must come with thanksgiving. When you pray in Jesus' name, the meaning behind is thanksgiving. But what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving in essence is giving acknowledgement to all that God has done. All that God, not only forgot what God has done, but all that God is. Who he is and what he has done. And when we have enough of thanksgiving, then your prayer makes a mark in God. You never dare to approach God's throne with thanksgiving. And even more, without worship. Prayer and worship and thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving. Even when God's presence came down to Moses in Exodus 34, do you know that, although it says God, but I believe he came with the host. Even that short little time, there has to be proclamation before he came. It says in Exodus 34, God proclaimed. Why don't God just come in? That's it. Moses didn't ask to hear anything, he asked to see something. God says, I'll show you the back parts of his glory. But isn't it interesting, when God comes, there's sound. And the sound is God proclaiming. But when we say God, I believe it's all the high angels are all proclaiming. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. Thanksgiving. Wong, wong, wong. And then God's presence came. Always with thanksgiving. And when we approach God, if your prayer don't have the will of God, don't have the kingdom of God, your prayer don't have thanksgiving, doesn't qualify as a prayer. Then what is your prayer? A cry for help. So, after this service, if you realize your prayer is all cry for help, come and repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to grow up. Thanksgiving. And the more you add Thanksgiving in your prayer. And lastly, number four, your prayer must have love. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, he talked about forgiveness. Love comes out of forgiveness. If your prayer does not have the love of God involved in loving God and loving your neighbor. See, I put a positive spin on it. Jesus said, if you pray and you don't forgive, God cannot forgive you. If God cannot forgive, obviously he cannot answer your prayer. Even the angels cannot answer. They want to. They want to be involved in the process. But they cannot. Because the law of God says you must flow in love, which Pastor David emphasized just now. The love of God must flow through you. And not just love. Altruistic love. You could love your neighbor. You could love those who hurt you. Love those who persecute you. And as that love flows, then you are met the elementary conditions of prayer where the love of God is involved. And God fills you with his love and you have the benevolence towards all. And you harbor no unforgiveness and it's always love. And some people, their cry for help also couldn't work because they got unforgiveness, they got hurt. But when you pray in that way, this is the guarantee. Prosperity, healing, blessings come automatically. It comes automatically. And it will be greater than you ever asked. Far beyond what you ask or dream. Four laws of prayer. Pray to God the Father. Involve his kingdom and his will. And thanksgiving, praise must be there. Number four, love must be present. Love towards God, love towards your fellow man. When those are there, then you can pray. So some of us look at, wow, I cannot even get into love. Then somehow get in. Pray and let God's love touch you, forgive or release or whatever. And then you can enter into a dimension of prayer. Then some people will say, then what's the fun of praying? Nothing for me. The fun of prayer is that you become a conduit of blessing. You might not appreciate it now, but you appreciate it when you go to heaven. You know, in heaven, we are gathered together. Every one of us got different shininess. Wouldn't it be funny if all of us shine, 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 and then suddenly one very dull color. And then in heaven, you cannot hide. Then you say, hey, why your garment all dull, dull? Everyone bright. And your one all slightly grayish. Say, why? Because all the light that came out from our life depends on how much we are a blessing to others. Your greatness and the amount of light you have is measured based on how much your life has been a blessing to others. You might not be a rich person and cannot help many people, but you can be rich in prayer. You might not be called to be an apostle or a prophet, evangelist, or one of those that God has anointed with great gifts, but you are still rich in prayer. In your prayer, you can be very rich. And here's the closing comment. Some prayer people are shinier than apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastor, teacher. Because even though their call is not so great, but their prayers have reached across continents. Their prayers have touched more lives. And in fact, all the evangelists, pastor, teacher are used to answer their prayers. You could be a great person. Now, we cannot make ourselves apostles, prophets, evangelists. These are predestined. But you can make yourself the greatest person in prayer that the universe has never seen before. Wow. So that's why in our church next time, I could see visualize. We got prayer closets. Say, why? people who just shut themselves in, never see them for a few days. 24-hour prayer. You have many Anna, the prophetess. Many people who give their life to prayer. Because you can be a great person of prayer. No matter where your call is, what your call is, no matter how limited your gifts are, you could be great in prayer. Something that we cannot rise. And another reminder, even if we are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, many apostle, prophet, evangelist depend on others to pray. Wrong. Paul learned to pray for himself. Paul travailed for the Galatians. We do have intercessors which we thank God for. But no fivefold ministry can be great unless they themselves are men and women of prayer. We have to be men or women of prayer. And no matter how gifted we are, and here's it, even if you're a rich person, super rich, and God bless you with a lot of wealth, you cannot be a powerful, spiritual, rich person without being a prayerful person first. Without prayer, you'll be wasting all your money. And you don't know how to use your money, don't know how to give your money. But when you're a person of prayer, you can be rich and highly spiritual. Example, Daniel. The most powerful person in the Babylonian kingdom after the emperor. He was a man of prayer. And God made him powerful. So here's your potential. In prayer, here's a good thing. We like to throw what you call arrow here. You can be more powerful than Pastor David and I. Oh yeah. That should be motivation for you. Of course, don't ever come and say, Pastor David, I'm now more powerful than you. After he got something for you too. Right. But you have no limits to the greatness of your power in prayer. Heavens, and there are no shortage of a lot of people called by God, but a lot of shortage of men and women of prayer. In fact, vacancy signs still up in heaven. There are angels that God specially assigned to raise people like that. And there are more angels than human beings. That's why, my friends, God has opened this when you learn the law of prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy as we learn the basics of prayer. We learn the elementary principles. Raise up intercessors. And you realize that intercession is not just to a few who have special gifting. But every believer is a priest. We all believe in the priesthood of believers. Every Baptist does. Every child of God does. Because it's in the Bible. But many do not practice it. And there are churches that teach us to be kings. But there's no such thing as being a king without being a priest. Melchizedek was both a priest and a king. Many want to be kings because they want to rule and reign. But Father, to be a true king, one has to be a true priest too. And in fact, the true kings that are great in your Bible are very priestly people. We thank you, Father God. They raise up a kingdom of kings and priests. And we ask, oh God, that you raise up intercessors so that we learn the basics of prayer. We become powerful in our prayers. And more than that, you take care of every single need of everyone who learned these depths of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise and we continue singing the song, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And
King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we have what we say, we get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord, and our King of Kings, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. have what we say. We get what we see. Faith, faith, the victory. And love is the key. Jesus is Lord and our King of Kings.
The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon your life. May He raise you up to be temples of the Holy Spirit. That in you is found the ark of glory. The intercessions, thanksgiving, worship, and praise come forth from the core of your being. That many around you, in your homes, in your families, in your communities, will be blessed because of you. And you will become exactly like Jesus and walk like angels of God in your community with your needs met, but also through you, the fulfillment of Abraham's blessing, that through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. God bless each one of you. Amen.